Before I jump into the message, Josh gave you a little preview last week that God did some big things in the lives of our students at camp. And so I wanted to invite a couple of students and a leader up here to give you a small glimpse of what God did. Obviously, this is just a sample size. We have more to come next week in the form of baptisms. I'll have you two students first introduce yourself, tell us your parents' names, what grade you're going into, and that good stuff.
Hi.
Is that on?
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, I'm Jaden. My mom is Christy, and my dad is Jeremy Ader.
Hi, I'm Sean Lancaster. My mom is Stacy and Jason Lancaster, and I'm going to be a junior next year.
Sweet.
I'm going to be a freshman.
Oh, yeah. Can you all tell everybody one big thing that God taught you about himself while we were at camp?
God taught me that I don't have to be afraid to share the gospel, and that if I ever need him, I can run to him, I can pray to him, and he will always be there for me.
One thing that I learned is that if he chose you, he ain't ever going to let you go, and that he's going to be there through you for every storm.
And can you tell us one thing that you learned about yourself while at camp and how you plan to use that in your life?
I learned that I don't have to be afraid to share the gospel, and that I don't have to be awkward, and I can share it to my friends and my family and get them back into Christ.
One thing I learned was that I could serve the church a lot more than just little things that, like opening the door for everybody and stuff like that.
All right. Is there anything else that you want to say to anybody in the room?
Just thank you to all of our elders and our pastors for helping me get into Christ and learning about the Lord.
I want to thank everybody that came and helped, like Craig, Candace, Grant, and my mom, who came and helped me a lot in my faith and growing, and all the students that came, who I've grown closer to. And thank Grant, because when I was there, I felt like I was being called to be a pastor, and I got to talk to him a lot about, and he told me everything that it means to be a pastor and all the struggles and all the good things about being a pastor.
Awesome. Thank you. You can give the mic over to the adult. If you will introduce yourself, you don't have to say what grade you're going into or anything like that.
I'm Stacy, and well, I get to be a senior this year at WT, too, so
okay,
I want to say my grade.
Awesome. Tell us your kids' names, why you went to camp.
I have Sean here, Riley Lancaster, and Braden Lancaster, and honestly, in my heart, I feel like all of the youth, they're just all my kids anyway, so I claim them all. One of the reasons that I went to camp and why I've gone to camp in the past actually kind of stems from why I started with youth to begin with, and that was because a couple years ago, I am a severely overprotective mama, and from that, I started growing. Getting to be into youth, I got to grow just as much as they have. I've gotten to see that anything that God has pulled me through in that moment or in my life in the past that hasn't been so pretty, that I get to be a reflection of Christ's love in that. So I went and I continue to go and I serve every Wednesday with these kids because I wanted to be that light, whether it be in the form of a shoulder or a sounding board or just to pray with them. I wanted to be that light of Christ's love for them.
Awesome. And so how did you see the Lord work in the lives of our students, and how did the Lord bless you? Oh, yeah. Pull it out. How did the Lord bless you in going on the trip as a chaperone?
Sorry, I'm going to have to read this because even just now with these kids, I'm going to cry. I spent a lot of time crying at camp, too. So I'm just going to read this. So while I was there, I got to see God light a fire in our kids that I haven't seen in a while, especially in some of our kids where that fire's died out. Our kids were asking the hard questions. They were digging deeper. And our kids were starting to recognize where they needed to grow and where they were letting the wrong things get in their way, whether it be what other people thought about them, what the world expected of them. They were letting the wrong things get in their way. So I got to witness light bulbs going off everywhere like they were finally getting it. Decisions were made for the Lord, decisions not to hide behind awkwardness, to try and not let the world stifle who they're called to be, and some of the kids rededicated to what they knew all along. They started listening, and as we all know, when we're calm and we're quiet and we don't get in our own way, we get to witness the Lord move. And that's what I got to see in these kids at camp.
Mm. Is there anything that you would want to say to an adult who may be on the fence of, hey, should I get involved somewhere, whether it's student ministry or kids ministry or somewhere else in the church? Is there anything that you'd want to say to that adult?
Ah, man, there's just so much that I could sit down and talk about all day about the blessings that God has given just me, and I know our other leaders, Craig and Candace and Grant and any of the other ones, Kayla, who was there, that have got to witness. But in any of our ministries here in church, the Lord moves. And even if you feel like just a small part of that, He moves through you. He lets you be a light. But if you feel called, the only thing that I can tell you was how I made my decision is when I felt called, I put it off for a long time until one day it was just there. And I heard a long time ago, and I don't know how true it is, that if you don't answer that call within the first 10 seconds, you're going to talk yourself out of it. So on one day, it started with Team Kid. I answered that call. I went to Renee. I bulldozed through some people. And since then, I've grown. You get to grow in the guiding of anybody else in this church. We grow in that. And we grow in the Lord, getting to help others. And in our case, or the leader's case, Craig, any of us can tell you that it's watching these kids grow, we learn to grow too. So in any of our ministries that we have, you'll grow in Christ while you're getting to be that light for somebody else to grow.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. You all can take a seat. Yeah. That kind of plays in really well to what we're talking about this morning. If you would, open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. In the Pew Bible, that's page 979, which people usually say Ephesians is right after Galatians. Page 979 is right before page 1000, just shortly before that. So, sorry, that joke missed. So Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, read with me. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. Amen. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now in this passage, Paul is addressing two people. He's addressing children, and he says he's addressing fathers, but we've seen through Ephesians 5 and into Ephesians 6, he is referring, when he says fathers, he's referring to parents, okay? So he's addressing children and parents. So if you are not a child or a parent who has a child or a teenager in this room, it may be tempting to check out, but I want to encourage you to stay tuned in, stay focused. I firmly believe that there is something in this passage for everybody in this room. So stay connected. There is a golf ball rolling up here. Stay connected, and let's pray and focus. God, thank you so much that we had the opportunity to take students away from everyday life, to unplug, to center their hearts on you and to listen to what you have to say to them. God, we thank you for the gospel, the good news of Jesus coming from heaven, fully man and fully God, to intervene on our behalf, because there is nothing about us that can save ourselves. So God, during these next 25 or 30 minutes, would we learn to center our lives on you? Would your Holy Spirit give us eyes to see and ears to hear? Would you convict us where we fall short? Would you encourage those who need encouragement? God, we offer up this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was in third grade, I had a good friend named Drew Thompson. And he had the coolest watch in the history of third grade. It was a black rubber Timex watch that had a green backlight on it. And it was the envy of every third grader at Cahaba Heights Elementary School. And so I knew that I needed to have this watch. So I sat next to Drew Thompson on the school bus and distracted him. And while he was distracted, his watch was in his backpack. I don't know why you have a watch and don't wear it, but his watch was in his backpack. And when he was distracted, I swooped in and took the watch and put it in my Ninja Turtles lunchbox. And I knew that I had gotten away with it. And as soon as I took it, I knew that I had about 45 minutes of bus ride to come up with an epic story on how to sell this watch to my parents when I got home. Okay, so the best possibility that I could come up with was that I got it from the treasure box for being such a good kid. The irony is not lost on me. But I got home. I said, "Mom, look what I got." And I sold it to her, at least in my third grade point of view. I sold it to her that I had gotten this watch from the treasure box. And I knew it. I had gotten away with it. I had gotten away with my petty theft. And so we go on and we're eating dinner and the telephone rings. And my heart sinks. I just know that it is Drew Thompson's mom. And my mom picks up the phone. "Oh, hello, Mrs. Thompson." I'm going to wander away real quick. "Hello, Mrs. Thompson. Oh, Drew, Grant said he got that watch from the treasure box." "Oh, boy, here we go. Let me call you back real quick." Click. She looks at me. She goes, "Grant, did you get that watch from the treasure box? Drew Thompson's mom says you took it from him." I said, "No, I got it from the treasure box." She popped me one time. She said, "Grant, did you get that watch from the treasure box?" And when you're lying, you have to double down. And so I said, "No. Or, yeah, I got it from the treasure box. I didn't steal it." And she popped me again. She said, "Grant, did you take that watch from Drew?" I said, "No. Quit spanking me." And turns out, I got the whooping of a lifetime. And I was whooped into repentance. My mom, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, had the wisdom to just spank the mess out of me. So lesson to the third graders, don't steal watches from your friends and blame it on the treasure box. Or don't steal anything at all. But I learned my lesson. I did not steal again after that. I returned the watch. I gave it back to Drew. Apologized to him the next day. And so, I was punished, and my parents, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, knew how to punish me in that moment. And we're going to talk about how we parent our kids as we are walking with the Lord. So, let me give you a little bit of background into the culture of Ephesus. Ephesus was a mega city. It was the intersection of four major roads in Asia Minor. And because it was considered a gateway city, a melting pot of beliefs came through Ephesus and stayed in Ephesus. Okay, so the people of Ephesus had given way to paganism, eroticism, enlightenment, and asceticism. And so Ephesus was also the home of the Roman goddess Diana, or Artemis. Okay, and at one point, her temple was four times the size as the Parthenon. Okay? It held 25,000 people, her temple did. And this is important because it speaks to where the Ephesian culture was, and Paul is writing to the Ephesians, telling them to live counterculturally. Okay? And so Ephesians 6, 1 through 4 sounds very similar to what DJ read. Deuteronomy 6. Starting in verse 1, the Shema, it says this: "Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over, to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long." And then in verse 7, he says this: "You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise." The difference in these two passages is that Deuteronomy is written to a people group whose parents had failed them. They had repeatedly failed. And if you've been sitting in Sunday school for the past 6 months, we've seen how the Israelites have repeatedly failed and rejected God time and time and time again. And so these Israelites in Deuteronomy 6 had no example to follow on what it looked like to follow God and parent their children while they're following God. And then the culture in Ephesus was very similar. It was very much the same. It consisted of parents who were failing their children. When a child was born in Ephesus, the child would be brought to the father, and the father would look at it, and if he wanted the child, he would scoop the child up and rock it and take it away. If the father did not want the child, he would leave it at its feet and walk off, and the child would be sold into slavery or prostitution at the temple of Artemis, or even murdered. The Ephesian people outside of the church of Ephesus were not only failing their children, but they were ignoring the value of their lives. Praise God for the Dobbs ruling, but the amount of public backlash that we've seen, it seems eerily similar to the American culture today. We're living in a culture that doesn't value the lives of our children. And so what Paul is commanding the church in Ephesus to do, and what Paul is writing that what we can take from that, is he's commanding us to do this also, is to live differently. Live counterculturally. Be different in the way that we are compassionate and patient with one another. Be different in the way that we show grace and mercy to one another, particularly our children. Theologian Francis Schaeffer says, "A compassionate, open home is part of Christian responsibility, and it should be practiced up to the level of capacity." This doesn't mean that we should be compassionate when we want to be. This doesn't mean that we should be compassionate when it suits us. It means we should be compassionate always. It should overflow out of our hearts. So read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 with me again. "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." And we're going to read this verse a few times today because I want us to walk out remembering what this verse says, and I want it to be impressed on our hearts. But he says, "Do not provoke your children to anger." What does it mean to provoke? Provoke means to stir up, to stimulate, to call forth, to induce. Don't stir up your children to anger. Don't stimulate your children to anger. Don't call forth anger from your children. Don't induce anger in your children. Don't bring about anger in your children. Don't anger alongside of your children. Don't do these things. Why? Because in Colossians 3:21, it says, "Lest they become discouraged, and lose heart. When we provoke our children, we discourage them and cause them to lose heart. And what are some ways that we provoke our children when we have unreasonable demands for perfection? When we're nagging over minor infractions? When there's no room for freedom of expression or personal growth? When there's a lack of encouragement or affirmation? When we issue harsh, unloving rebukes? When there's public embarrassment? When there's inconsistent discipline, when we show favoritism. Notice I didn't say we couldn't have favorites. I just said show it. Good luck with that conversation on the way home. When we have extreme discipline that doesn't match the offense. Those are ways that we provoke our kids to anger. And our kids don't hear us for two reasons. One, because a lot of times they have headphones in. But also... they can't hear us often because there's something going on with us. Often we aren't abiding with the Lord, and out of our hearts come provocation. We should always be after the hearts of our children, just as Jesus is after our heart. Don't cause them to lose heart. Let's read Ephesians 6:4 again. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And that word bring carries the idea of to come to a place with, right? Paul didn't write to send our children. He said bring them up, to cause someone or something to come to a place or to make them move in a particular direction. He doesn't write send them. He says bring them up. Come with them. Another word could be provoke. Provoke them to discipline and instruction of the Lord. Stir up the discipline and instruction of the Lord within them. Walk with your children in doing this. Claire and I, we love the show The Amazing Race. Has anybody ever seen that show? Oh, great show. Okay, and so if you're not familiar with it, there are a bunch of teams of two, and they will travel all around the world and do perform different obstacles, and the last one standing is the winner of $1 million. And so they will perform obstacles that are in accordance with the culture of the country that they are currently in. Okay, and so in order to get to those obstacles, typically, one of the teammates will drive, and the other will hold a roadmap and try to give directions. And the map could be in a different language. They are not familiar at all with where they are. And so they argue back and forth on which way is the right way. And no matter what, the driver is going to bring the passenger with him. It doesn't matter if they're going to the right place or the wrong place. The passenger is along for the ride, and the driver is going with him. And so, it's extremely difficult for the driver to navigate this land that he has not been there before. It's extremely difficult for us as parents to take our kids where we have not been before. Okay? If we are not walking step by step with Jesus, if we aren't in tune with the Holy Spirit, we can't lead our kids in that way. It's impossible to do. And so what does it look like to walk with the Spirit? Ephesians 5, 17 through 18 says, Paul says this, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Shout out to the wine connoisseurs. But also, wine isn't the only thing. Don't get drunk on anything. College football. Laziness, finances, work. Don't get caught up in having the perfect yard, having the most athletic or artistic or creative child. Don't get caught up in outward perfection. Don't do it. It's a waste of our time. But instead, be filled with the Spirit. Wake up early. Spend time with Jesus. Get in the Word of God. Cast your stress on Jesus. Cast your anxieties on Jesus. Rest in life that's found in Jesus. And this idea of being under the leadership or under control of the Holy Spirit paints the picture of a horse and its rider. And the rider sticks the bit in the horse's mouth and guides the horse in the direction that it should go. And the horse will fight it at first. But eventually, the horse gives way to the ebb and flow of the rider as it travels with complete trust, knowing that the rider knows where it's going. We're no different. We try to fill our hearts with these things that I mentioned, with these things that waste our time. And we, out of that comes provocation of our kids. But the Holy Spirit, being the rider in this picture, compels us to bring them up, to come alongside them, to walk with them as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, as we are step by step and being guided by the Holy Spirit. Father, is this something that I'm in the thick of learning as it applies not only to my kids, but to my relationship with Claire as well? We are the drivers of our household. We can drive our household to the Lord or away from the Lord. I've been in ministry long enough to see fathers who are on fire for the Lord and their family is following in their footsteps. Or fathers who are apathetic in their faith and their kid is growing up to be apathetic. Or fathers who are struggling with their faith, and their kid grows up to struggle with their faith. Praise God, this isn't a magic recipe for success. Praise God that He can do what He wants in our kids. But I've seen the effect that fathers have as they drive and lead their household. Let's look at Ephesians 6:4 one more time. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up, come alongside them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That word discipline refers to counsel and correction, encouragement and reproof. And that word instruction refers to nurture. And Claire and I are responsible for all of those things in the lives of our girls. And we have many goals for them. We want them to know Jesus as their Savior, not because their parents know him as our Savior, but because they recognize their need for a Savior. We want our girls to grow and mature in their faith. We want them to find their identity in Christ and be confident in that identity. We want them to be leaders to those around them. We want them to do their best in school, even if that means they're straight C students. And it's possible, I'm from Alabama. We want them to be good friends. We want them to develop character, honesty, integrity. We want them to be compassionate and caring, to be reliable and disciplined. We're responsible for nurturing, counseling, correcting, and encouraging our girls. But we need your help as a church. We can't do this by ourselves. Just like the parents of these students that were up here on stage and these students that are sitting right here, they need your help as well. They can't do it on their own. We understand we're our girls' primary faith trainers, that we are the ones in charge and entrusted with our girls' lives. But really, all of us as a whole are entrusted with the lives of the kids that attend First Baptist. And so this is a call for us as First Baptists to live counterculturally, to come alongside our kids and encourage them and bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Empty nesters, serve in our kids and student ministry. This is an unashamed, unapologetic plug for our kids and student ministry. Grandparents, find ways to get involved. Aunts, uncles, men, women, teenagers, students, you all can serve in the kids' ministry. We must live differently than our culture as we actively search for opportunities and engage our kids for the gospel. We must. I told you one mistake I made growing up in my parents' reactions. When I was in college, I made another huge mistake, and I called my parents in tears, fully expecting to be whooped, chastised, cut off from the family, thrown out of the house, you name it. But when I told my parents, they reacted in a way that I'll never forget. Where I deserved punishment, they cried with me, they gave me grace and mercy and offered me forgiveness. And if they had not been filled with the Holy Spirit, if they had not been walking with Jesus, if they had not been letting the Holy Spirit guide them, I am convinced that their reaction would have been a lot different. See, when my parents were walking with Jesus and when the Holy Spirit was leading them, they knew when to spank me into repentance and when to offer me grace and mercy and forgiveness. And sometimes we need to do that with our kids. If you're a parent in here who is quick to react or quick to provoke, I want to encourage you by saying you're not alone. There are other parents in this room who are quick to provoke. And it's never too late to take the bit and let the Holy Spirit lead you. If you're a student in here, I encourage you to take a long, hard look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And see how that compares to your relationship with your parents. Do you obey them in the Lord? God has entrusted you to them. Do you obey them in the Lord? If you say you are walking with Jesus, it's really very simple. You are following and obeying your parents. You're honoring your parents. You're being respectful of your parents. To everyone in here, what's holding us back from loving our kids and bringing them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord? Is it pride? In Mark 10, people were bringing children to Jesus, and the disciples were rebuking those people. And Jesus, they thought that Jesus didn't have time for the kids. And Jesus becomes indignant. He becomes furious. He says, "Let the children come, do nothing to hinder them." What are we doing that is hindering our kids from coming to know Jesus? Is it fear or is it anxiety that is holding us back from getting involved? When Lila was little, she was deathly afraid of the vacuum cleaner. And when it turned on, she would run to me, and she would jump into my chest, and I would wrap my arms around her and comfort her, because in the arms of her father she found protection and safety and confidence. If it's fear or anxiety, let's find our Heavenly Father. The example that we should all follow as parents, that we should follow as we seek to lead our kids to Jesus, the Heavenly Father that didn't provoke us to anger, but instead sent His begotten Son and the Holy Spirit to give us the discipline and instruction of the Lord and to bring us back into a reconciled relationship with Him. The one who adopted us as His own, and rather than looking down upon us, He looks at us through the lens of Jesus and declares us righteous. Let's find confidence in that Father. Let's pray. God, we thank You. We thank You that when we fall short, God, You sustain us. God, that while we were still sinners, You sent Your Son Jesus to die for us. God, You set an example of how we should parent our kids. And so, God, we ask that You would just give us the submission to be obedient to the Holy Spirit's leading. That we would be slow to anger and quick to provoke them to You. God, would we as a church come alongside parents? And would we get involved and get to know the students and the kids around us? And God, would we come alongside them and bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord? God, we love You in Jesus' name. Amen.